This conversation with Walt Curran took place at his home in Genesee on March 17, 1976. The interviewer was Sam Schrager.
Right onto the reservation?
Yeah, see, the folks moved up here in 1902 and bought that little place. And they lived there until 1908, and we moved out on the reservation, and I grew up there, and we stayed there until 1929 out on the farm there.
Where was it on the reservation?
Out here near Top of Coyote Grade. You come up Coyote Heavy any time?
Yeah.
Well, it's after you break up on top there coming in. They see the old grade don't come now like it used to. It used to come around up over the hills through the farmland there. Right through the farm we had, the Indian land. Dad rented land from the Indians, and so it made that's an awful good farming country out in there. All that rim rock out there is a choice farmland.
What makes it so good? Is it because is it lower? It's kind of lower than it is here.
No,
so,
not too much. Not too much. It's just an awful good. Well, all this farmland around here is excellent farmland. But that rim rock out there is, of course, maybe I'm just a little prejudiced. I grew up out there, and that was been my home. I grew up all the time I was growing up.
Well, had your father, he had farmed before he went and farmed there? He'd been a farmer before?
Oh, yeah. He was a farmer over Colton. And then moved up here, and the family grew up, and then Dad and my brother farmed out there with Fred Nagel, an old-timer around here. And then my brother got out of it, and Dad and I farmed together out there.
Well, how did that work? How could you go about renting the Indian land?
You had to go through the Indian Agency at Lapway. They had an agency control the leasing of the Indian land. Yeah, well, I guess some of the agency buildings are down there yet, and I guess they still have some of the agency there.
Well, what kind of a setup was it? Was it a long-term lease? Or half-year?
Well, you could get a 3-year or 5-year lease, whatever you wanted. And so you had so much rent each year, you know, you paid so much an acre rent. Way you had your lease. It was 3 or 5 years, whatever you wanted, whatever the Indian would let you have, or through the agency there. And so that worked out pretty good. We had 160 of farmland rented, or Indian land rented, and besides 240 of our own. And that was back in the old horse days for me, before tractors come in. But they were just coming in when we left the reservation and moved over to Colton. We still farmed the horses.
Did you need much stock to farm with then?
Oh, yes. They had about, we had about colts and all, about maybe 20 head of horses, and that was about the average little farmer. They had colts and workhorses and saddle horses and stuff like that. And we had some cattle and kind of diversified farming. So it kept us busy.
Was there a place to live when you moved over there? Was there a place on the...
Well, yes. We moved out. It was on Indian land. Well, all the places we lived out here until Dad bought that 240 of the Connor Ranch. It was all Indian land around us there. All belonged to the Connors, Corbett's and all that down there, Matthews and Williams, all down the long central grade there. It's all Indian land. But now it's been bought up by the individuals. There's still some out there yet. But it's being pretty well bought up now.
Was it readily available then? Could you get it easily? I mean, to rent, or was there a lot of demand for it?
A lot of demand. You got it by kind of bidding on land through the agency. The highest bidder would usually get it, unless the Indian had to say so himself. We rented George P. O. Patalik's land there for 9 years, but he was just a wonderful old Indian, honest as they come. He wanted us to have it. We just kept it until we left the reservation. And most of the old Indians that used to be around when I was a boy out there is all passed on now. It's all younger ones now. Or their family descendants has got the land, what's left there.
What was George P. O. Patalik like? I've heard that he was really a fine man.
He was.
You say.
Well, at one time, I guess he was chief of the Nez Perce tribe. See, he was a nephew of Chief Joseph. And so was this. You've heard of this famous writer, Jackson Sundown?
Oh, yes.
Well, he was also a nephew of Chief Joseph. And they were cousins, Jackson Sundown and P. O. Patalik. And I knew them old fellows. See, when I was only 4 years old, and I looked out. The old fellows had come to town on their saddle horses. The old man, Johnny Matthews and Carl's, and all of them old fellows come by where we lived. And I was really got acquainted with them. And every time they'd come to town and come back by, they'd always have me some candy or gum or something. And my old fellows and I, we were pretty good friends. And then I grew up among them, and they kept. But they're all gone now. So, really, I don't know who all owns the land now.
Well, back then, when those guys were, what would they do? I mean, how would they pass the time then?
Oh, honey, fishing.
Yeah.
Gardening. Some of them raised garden. Some had some horses. Some
cattle. Sometimes they go camping or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they travel around.
Yeah. And they lived on what they got off their farmland for the rent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
That was enough for them to get
along.
Yeah.
Oh, they got so, some of them got so they'd pretty much draw up their rent ahead of time, but this old fellow we rented for, old P. O. Patalik, my God, you know, he almost never drawed a heck of a lot. He just lived on what he, if he needed some, he'd come and get, I imagine, over, well, I don't think he ever drawed over $50 a year on his rent at any time.
Oh.
And he got by, him and his wife lived. Well, it's a house just as you hit the river there on Coyote Grade, just as you hit the highway there on the river.
Huh.
It's a little house that back up on the point there. And he had a nice little place. He raised good garden stuff. But he liked to hunt and fish. So
they all seemed to like that,
yeah,
you
they
know.
Do.
I think it was him that I heard about that used to camp up around Bowville.
Yeah, he used to go up in there and up on the Clearwater. First time I ever went deer hunting with that old fellow. We took his team of horses and an old hack. We went up and went up through Kendrick up in his timber much in there. And we went up in there and we camped one night. Within the day we went up, and the next day evening we had a deer and an elk apiece. The old fella, he'd go through that timber, you'd never hear him go. Just sneak up on him. But he was a great hunter.
Oh, how old were you about then, just guessing?
Oh, I was, I imagine, maybe 20s.
Was he teaching you how to hunt?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he showed me a lot of things about still hunting and everything.
Still hunting?
Oh yeah, that's, you just find you a good game trail and back off ways. He showed me how to do that, and just wait for your game to get to traveling. They'd come through this game trail and you could get them. there. Otherwise, he could sneak through that timber. So quiet, you couldn't even hear him. He'd just get through there, and lots of times he'd walk right up on game in the timber there. So.
Different than they do nowadays.
Oh, that sure sounds different than the way I learned to hunt.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. They seemed like that them Indians had a way of doing it.
They sure were. They
great hunters.
Gosh, yeah. The wonderful things they used to make with them beautiful lives.
Yeah.
Things they used to make. What do
beadwork.
Beadwork. Oh, they were great for making beadwork.
And
handbags.
Yes, anything.
And gloves. They were great to make these buckskin gloves and jackets and moccasins. And
you see, they made their clothes out of animal hides, you know, and things.
Well, most not.
Is that the dog or the dog?
I don't know. But anyway, they'd take these little small beads, different colors, and they'd make the prettiest flowers on these gloves. And the beadwork bags and stuff, and their jackets. They'd bead on that. They were great. They were finest artists going for that.
They made all their clothes and stuff from the animal hides. You know. They never wasted a thing when they got an animal.
They used
everything they could.
I've seen at Lapway, you know, at the Indian dances.
Yeah.
God, that must be a lot of the old work that they still have.
Yeah. Here a while back, some of the old-time Indian ladies, they was putting on classes, learning the young ones how to do that down there, how to make baskets and buckskin stuff. And it was showing them, learning the trade, like the old fellows used to, the old Indians. And they were great artists.
Want him in?
No.
Could he bark?
But, you know, it's kind of funny that nowadays, you wouldn't think of, maybe that somebody who is like an Indian would really go that much trouble with a white boy, you know, to teach him how to be a good
hunter. I'll tell you, if they were a friend to you, they'd do anything to help you. But
if they hated you, best get out of the way.
If they were an enemy, well.
But they'd do anything in the world for you if they liked you.
Mm-hmm. You bet. They were great friends of ours out there, the folks. A whole lot of them old timers, they'd always stop the folks. Mother always raised a big garden and they'd come through, camp there. Some had money, some didn't. She never refused them. Eggs, butter, garden stuff. They'd come back from huckleberry and mother'd always get for 5-6 gallons of huckleberries. They'd always bring her out a bunch of huckleberries, them old Indian ladies. And the same way with fishing. They'd go fishing down on the river and they'd bring us fish up there. Real fresh fish.
No, if they liked you, boy, they'd do anything.
Well, it sounds like they liked, they must have liked you. Why do you think they liked you? Was it because you shared like that?
Well, yes.
What you had?
We always treated them right, and treated them just on the equal but with the other people, and they appreciated it. Like that.
I never was around them. I was scared to death of them, but then, you know, they never hurt me. But, you know, just kid, you know, not used to them. You know, after that, then it didn't bother me anymore. But
they were.
I never was around them.
You treat an Indian right, then he'll treat you right. You betcha. They're good friends. I still got a lot of friends down there around Lapway yet. Even their younger ones.
Were there some people that didn't treat them well? Those days?
Well,
some of the whites.
I don't know. I couldn't say that because I never was around and seen.
Well, just when you say if they didn't like you, they really didn't like you.
Well, if you'd done something to them that, to make them mad, why, they were mad. And something like that. If you'd done them dirt or something, and something that hurt them, why, no, they didn't want more duty. But if you just treat them white and treat them right, and you do them a favor, and they'd do you one back.
What about Jackson Sundance? What kind of guy was he?
He was a fine old Indian. And boy, he was one of the best bronc riders. He used to come up out there when we lived on the reservation. Oh, back in the teens and the 20s, they'd have the stock shows here and the rodeo. And he would come up, and him and his wife and family would camp out there. And he'd come in here to the show during the day and then back out to his camp. And he was a fine old fella. Well, Jackson was. Yes, sir. He was just one of the better ones.
For as far as riding goes, I guess I've heard he was all over the country. Wasn't he in Pendleton?
He won the World Championship at Pendleton down there. Yeah. Oh, he was a dandy. And the nicest old Indian to be around you ever seen. Same with this Bill Patelic, George Bill Patelic. He was the finest old Indian you'd be around.
Somebody told me about Bill Patelic, how considerate he was.
Mm-hmm.
He'd gone and stayed at their place, and he was doing some roundup work with him, and he was the only one that really said, "Well, your cooking was great. And
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed hospitality." And
he used to get up in the morning at a little place there on the river. Go out and take a swim in the Clearwater, if that was in the late fall, floating ice. Get out, get on his little horse and come up to the ranch there, and he'd get up there one time we were having breakfast and have breakfast with us. And he'd visit a while, take off again back for the river. He used to make jerky, bring it to us. And he was a very considerate old fellow.
Was he an old man at this time when he was diving in the river and swimming around?
Yeah, he was around late 60s and 70 in there. He always took a morning swim in the Clearwater.
I don't remember him. I never saw him.
You bet.
Did Jackson Sundance ever teach you anything about riding?
Well, he gave me quite a few pointers. Of course, I was just a dumb kid growing up about that time. I learned a lot from Jackson.
Yeah, I guess he was a fine.
Of course,
fine
I wasn't
as
lucky.
Man.
He'd ride him, and I'd get fooling around and get bucked off.
Were you interested in that riding? Then?
Yes, I liked it. I used to break horses in the winter. And summertime, of course, I was too busy with farming. We farmed by horse a lot. I always had two or three saddle horses around. But I like messing around with horses and cattle. Real good.
Well, this bronc riding that he did, was there much rodeoing around here?
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Did kids have a chance to learn that kind of stuff
Oh, yes.
in those days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you take all the farm kids, they used to get, well, they had cattle and stuff. Of course, they get out and ride calves and stuff more. You know, when they was on the farm, they all had an idea that they wanted to ride, so they'd get out and do it themselves. Sometimes nobody would tell them, they'd just get out and learn it. Well, it was a lot of fun, even if you did get bucked off. Farming's different now. It's all machinery now instead of the horses.
You know, thrash machines.
Did Jackson Sundance ever, I mean, would he fool around on the horses whether or not he was in a rodeo? I mean, did he have his own string or anything?
No, he had horses, but he never had a rodeo string. He just went and rode in the shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd come up there and camp and come here, and then they'd always go and camp wherever he was riding, put up their teepees, same way. Old Whiston, Pendleton, wherever they had a show, he'd go and ride.
Well, was this Genesee Horse Show, was that a rodeo too?
Well, they had the rodeo in connection with the horse show. But them days, why, they had some fine horses around, some draft horses. Then they'd have, the last day of the show, they'd have a rodeo. And everybody had some bucking horses around the country, why. It wasn't at that time, there really wasn't any special rodeo strings. Everybody around the country had horses, and if they had a horse that they thought was a good bucking horse, why, they'd bring him in and they'd try him out. They'd have the show that way. But they never hired a string like they do, or a string of horse like they do at Lewiston around to put on the shows.
But that's what Sundance was here for, would be for the horse show that he'd come here.
Well, he'd come for the horse show and the bronc riding. Same way at Pendleton, he went down, they have a lot of things there that we didn't have. Of course, now it's commercialized, they have these regular strings that come in.
Well, did this draw people in from very far? I mean,
yes, all these small towns around here would come in. And, we had rodeos here. The Hanna boys used to come in, put on rodeos here. And old Gus Gamble, Chet Sams had horses, and we all had horses. We'd put in with them, put on a show here.
Gus used to do that rodeo in too?
Well, yeah, he had a bunch of horses out here on the rim. And him and Chet Sams, they can bring the stock in. So everybody, like I say, had a bucking horse, they'd bring him in. So that made fun for all.
Was there much money in it for a guy like Jackson Sundance?
It all depended on what your purse was for championship. Each little show always had probably a different purse, you know.
I'd imagine it had as much as it do now.
Oh, no, not like it now.
You know, it doesn't seem to me like they're all that big now either. Some of these guys could ride the circuit, and the champion and the national champion could maybe have $50,000, which isn't so much compared to other other jobs.
Oh, no. Well, for the chances they take and the rough part of it, why, it isn't too much. Of course, nowadays, them days you rode a horse to a finish, now you ride him so many seconds.
You rode him to a finish? What do you mean?
Till the horse quit bucking.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they ride him 8 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever it is. See, what is set now?
Well, how long could a horse keep bucking in that place?
I don't know.
Some of them would go quite a ways. I never stuck with them, enough of them to go all the way with them.
No, I don't know one thing about them.
Yeah, they. Quite a lot of sports. You never know when he's going to get hurt.
Well, you better dry up your bike.
Did you do much rodeo riding yourself?
I never rode the shows too much. I was usually worked as pickup man or hazer or something like that. But I never really rode the shows too much. Sometimes I try it. I never had the time to get away to follow the shows. We were on the farm, you know, at work and stuff. So I never had a chance to get away too much.
Were you ever over at the Pelican show over there to to work in it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't work in it. I went over with that old Peel Metallic one time when I was just a kid. And rode racehorses, his racehorses in the show. There, one year he took me over. I had two of his horses up, keeping them up on the ranch. He took one of them over and took me along with him. We had a good time down there.
What's the hazer do? Which guy?
Hazen was on all bulldogging. You haze a steer on one side while the dog comes on the other. Sometimes running the stock and bucking the horse, buckers the rider off and run him out. Pick him up and take the saddle off of him and pick up the rider. Horse had quit bucking, now you'd run in and pick the horse up, snub him up, and take the rider off on back of you on your horse, and then he'd go on over and you'd just take him back in, take the saddle off of him. So,
you know, it always struck me as real dangerous. A dangerous game. I guess that's because I've never been much of a rider.
Well, you never knew what them horses were going to do sometimes. Some of them would try to take you and knock you out of the saddle, and some of them would want to keep on bucking. And so you just never knew what the horse was going to do. So it meant when you went in there, you just took your chances at it.
When you, I was just thinking of holding on. How did you do that? I mean, when a horse was bucking, what was the way that you learned to?
Well, you wouldn't dare. You wouldn't dare grab the saddle horn, or they'd disqualify you. You had your bucking reins and your saddle, and you ride with your balance to the horse, over the horse. So, it was just. It's a game all of its own. Some get good, some never learn.
Like Sundance ever, Jackson Sundance would pick it up.
Well, he told us when he was a kid he used to go out and ride buffaloes. Yeah, when he was a kid, see, him and Old Pio, and Old Pio was a good rider too, but he never rode rodeo, but Old Sundown said he used to go out and ride buffaloes. He'd take these, ride these old bulls with a saddle or a bareback cinch, either one. It didn't make any difference. So, he just learned it when he was from a kid up that way.
When you, they had them rodeos, what did they have to go, like nowadays, you know, they got all that, some of them have a lot of carnival stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well,
did they have, what did they have to go with them in them days?
Well,
anything special?
Some would have maybe a little carnival and some didn't. They just put on the show in the afternoon. Usually have a ball game in the morning, baseball teams. Afternoon be a rodeo. Sometimes they'd get a little carnival in. Merry-go-round, Ferris wheel, something like that. Some side shows. A lot of fun. Always fun, give you something to do.
But you say like the horses and stuff in those rodeos, they were brought in by the people, or I mean they just didn't like it is now.
No.
They,
no. The first one that ever come into Genesee, I did with a bucking string, was George the Hanna brothers. That was 1929. They come in ahead of time and they kept brought in a bunch of horses and anybody had a good bucking horse, they'd try him out, and if he looked like he'd make a good bucker, they'd either buy him or trade him another horse for it that wasn't a bucking horse. So they stuck around here a whole in the 2 weeks that way. But the main show they put on was about a 3 or 4 day show. It was on over the 4th of July celebration, but they had an awful good string of horses, and they were nice fellows to work with. George Hanna, the only one I know of where's at now, he lives down here in the Lewiston Orchard someplace, but they don't have the string anymore.
Mm.
He's way up in the 80s now, so he's just too doggone old for that, but he still monkeys around, he likes stock.
Mm. Did they go all around the country, other places?
Oh, yes. Wherever they wanted to contract them to come in with a bucking string, why, they'd go in.
And that was as a part of the stock show and rodeo that they had
come in? Yeah. See, they quit having the stock shows afterwards, but then they had rodeos around in here. I know I went up with the Hanna boys. I worked with them here in 29, and then I went up with them to the Riverside Park up there towards Potlatch. Or they was in here twice, once at Uniontown, wherever they could. They only come in and put a show, why they'd bring their rodeo stock in and put it on. But
I gotta admit, I'm real ignorant about bucking horses.
Oh,
and all
yeah.
That. When they would, you're saying that only some horses would be buckers.
Yeah, not all of them would be. Maybe they'd come out, maybe buck once, the next time they would quit and wouldn't do a thing. And a lot of them would just keep on getting worse. That's where the ones they use strings, they like to get a hold of. Some of them.
How well were horses cared for in them days, on the farms and the stock?
Well, it all depends on the individual. Most of them took good care of their stock. And some of them just not quite as good as the others. But they had to, because they had to depend on them for their farm work. you see. Plowing, seeding, and running a header or finder, or even pulling a combine. So we use four combines in ours. We have all the way from little combines, all the way from 12 up to 32 head of horses on. On these old ground pull combines.
What about the, the size of the horses that you
heard? Oh, they'd run all the way from 1,200 up to 1,600 pounders, all the way up.
Did they have a lot of different kinds, or was there certain few kinds that they liked?
There was Shires, Belgians, and Perchins were mostly around this country. And sometimes it was just mixed breeds, you know. But that was the three main breeds of horses they had around for the farm work. On account of the flu epidemic. Well, I was running around out there at the ranch, and old man Sweeney come up. He wanted to know what I was doing monkeying around out of school. I told him, wasn't any. They closed them all. So his daughter Joanna, was teaching down on the Coyote Grade School. So he told me to come in and get my books, and so I did, and I went finished the school year down there. There was six of us white kids and eight Indian kids. And that was the size of the school. We had a good little school. She was a real good teacher, Joanna was. She's passed on now. But I had a real good year down there.
Where had you been going to school before?
Here in Genesee.
Oh. What was the difference between the school here and the town and the school in a country like that?
There wasn't any difference, only here in town we had our one grade, you know, or two grades, and down there we had all the way from the first to the eighth grade. And we rode a saddle horse. Her brother and I rode from up here on the hill. Then after come spring, why, she was boarding down there with a Comfort family, so then she used to ride a horse down with us too in the morning till school was out. And I don't know, it was just the atmosphere of being out in the country, you know. But I
don't know when they opened the school. I know it closed it in Colton that year, too.
Well, it was closed Genesee quite a while.
My, terrible.
Were there many people around here that got the flu?
Oh, everybody had it. We lost several around here. One man and wife both died within just a few hours of each other. Well, there's an awful lot of them died around here. That was the first time
that
we had
here. I think I skipped it that year, if I remember right.
Well, I was pretty lucky too that year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was bad, real bad.
Well, we had the chicken, and measles and chicken pox.
Yeah.
Monkey.
Did you get to play Indian games when you went down there?
The Indian game with the Indian kids down there. With Mike Sweeney and I, we were the two boys from up here on the hill. We played with them down there, Indian games and stuff.
What kind of games? They had.
You'd get down and play the stick game and stuff like that. Indian kids, you know. Different little things they had.
Stick game.
Yeah, they played that. I don't remember how the devil we did play it, but now. But and then they played just same as us kids too, you know.
Baseball different things, I guess.
Like
I don't know.
They like baseball. We play it down there.
It's Swenson. No, he wasn't ever around here. Was he?
No, he's Park in Deary.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
No, that was... We had good...
Swenson used to live a year ago, but I guess he was no relative of them.
Yeah, if you contact Malin, he can probably give you a lot more history further back than I can, because he was born... Well, he's in his 80s now. He's an old-timer here. Of course, I lived out here in the country. I missed a lot of city life then.
When did you start working on the farm? How old were you when you started
working? I'd say about 11, 12 years old.
What did you start in on doing?
Driving team, plow team, different things in the field.
A lot of kids used to start in with 14.
Helping in the hay, mowing hay and raking.
Yeah.
stuff like that.
They had to do that, I guess, in those days.
And when I was going to school, I rode from, 7 miles out to Genesee here. And Saturday, Dad'd be working in the field. My brother, and Saturday, I'd go out and take Dad's team in the field, plow team or whatever he's doing. That's how I got broke into handling horses.
Did you start with just 2 horses or did you start with a whole
No, we had 7 or 8 head on the gang plow, probably 6 on a harrow, 2 on a mower machine and a rake, stuff like that. So I drove combine several years with horses around these hills. And I went to learn push binder and went to the tractor work.
You know, they talk about the Genesee harvests all over this county. I mean, mm-hmm. No matter where you go, go out to Deary Park, mm-hmm. way out in there.
Yeah.
They say, well, it was while we were clearing up the land, of course, father worked out at Genesee Harvest.
Yeah, they come down here and harvest and work. Oh yes, and then in the old steam threshing machine days, there were several machines would come from Troy down in this country, thresh grain. There was the Swensons, and Albert Hall, Seth, and all different ones, and Ole Flamo, different fellows that had big threshing outfits would come down here and thresh the grain, the headed grain or the bundle grain after they started binding.
I mean, there was enough of a market for them to come in from outside with
yes.
their own machinery?
Well, yeah. All these farmers around here didn't have a threshing machine of their own, and the fellows would come down. It covered all the way from, might say, the Washington Eye to go around to the Clearwater to out here with Juliet, all that country in there, you know. Thrashed, and they hit it and thrashed, and then they used to stack the grain and thrash it, and then they went to bundles before they hit the combines. You bet, there's a big scope of country and a lot of grain here to thrash.
Yeah, it seemed to me that that's what they used to do.
Well, didn't a lot of people come in from migrant?
Yeah.
Harvest tramps, you call them?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of
them. A lot of them used to come and have 30, 40 days of harvest they'd put in.
Oh, yeah. There was lots of work here for, you know, transient labor. And they'd work here and some would stay around, you know, and help with the farm work, helping with the farming, ones that could handle horses and such as that. So, until they get to fall, some of these farmers that hire them until they get to fall work now. So there was a lot of work around here then, but
yeah,
machinery
there is nothing
has taken
like
that out.
That now.
That's all gone out now. It's just machinery has taken it out.
You wonder where those guys came from?
All over the country. Some of them went down the lower country, down the river. See, they harvest earlier down there than they do here.
Well, like
they'd start in down there and follow the harvest up clear up into here and go up here and then go on north up towards Canada. They'd just follow the harvest as it went out. They'd go someplace else where it was later. They followed it then.
Was it tricky to farm on the hillsides? Was it fairly steep where you had your land?
Some was and some wasn't. You just had to work your ground out according to your hills. So you'd go around the hills and not have to go up the steep hills and stuff like that. But it wasn't too tricky. Well, once in a while, have a wreck, but not too often. It was more so with tractor work than it was with horses, because you had all that heavy machinery on there. You had to watch your tractor and your machinery. So it wasn't too bad around here. Everybody seemed to farm the hills in good shape.
Did your father have a tough time to make a go of it at the early days of farming that he did here?
Well, No, not too bad. Until that depression hit there in 29. Of course, Dad only, passed away in 31. That depression was a little bit on the rough side, but we pulled through it after passed away. Why? That's when we moved back here from Colton. We had the place here. We just renting over there. So we moved back here, and then I worked on farm work and construction and different things. And until World War II broke out, things opened up then. Been going on pretty good.
When did the depression make itself felt here?
Oh, started along about in 29. On until, might say, it was getting a little bit better. Until World War II broke out, which that then hit us in 41 there at Pearl Harbor. But then things opened up, and it went pretty good then.
Was there, in 29 when that hit, did that mean there was no, did the bottom fall of the crop market too?
It just started going down, and prices got down, and times
you
got
you couldn't
tough.
Borrow any money, you couldn't do nothing?
And wheat prices went way down, or in, like your poultry, eggs and stuff, that went way down to nothing. There just wasn't any money. Be truthful about it.
Well, who would do that?
We pulled through it all right. I had the wife, and then the daughter was born in 32 after come back up here, and mother was with us, so anyway, we lived through it.
Did you ever hear him talk about the 93 depression around
yes,
here?
I heard Dad talking about that, but I don't remember all the things he told me. He said it was really tough then too. Yeah, they were. That's when he was farming over in Colton. Before they moved up here. Yeah, that's a picture of how they used to thrash here. That's what the old call the old horsepower rake.
Oh,
they didn't have no engine at all.
They going around.
They had 10, 12 head of horses. Then they had a tumbling rod run over to the separator from that, and the horses finished the power. My dad, the tallest one in the middle there, driving the old horsepower and all that. And that's the way they thrashed that, over on Thorn Creek and around.
Is that where that was taken, you think?
Yeah, that was taken.
Creek?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, where did he come from before he came out to Cove?
Oregon.
Willamette Valley? Or?
Yeah. That's where Dad come from. That's where Dad was born, Willamette Valley. Mother came from Arkansas by covered wagon. Both my granddads homesteaded over at Colton.
I wonder how your father heard about the Colton country.
My granddad just heard about this opening up a new country over in here, both my granddad, so they just headed for out in this country. And Dad and his brothers and my granddad, they brought a bunch of cattle with them over to Colton. Dad, granddad homesteaded. My other granddad, granddad Kearns was right there at Colton. My grandpa Lupers was about 3 miles north of the homestead.
Do you have much idea when your father might have gotten there from Western Oregon? He was there in the 80s, you said.
Oh yeah, that was 1878 in Colton.
Yeah, it'd be one of the early people.
Oh yes, there was no Colton or anything in there. Dad hauled the first stick of lumber into Colton there when they built that one building, a doctor in there built it. And he used to freight from Colfax to Lewiston down the hill there. And no, there was no Colton or any of them, just few settlers around there.
He would freight supplies from one to the other?
Colfax and down to Lewiston, things like that. So.
Did he ever talk about Balmer? Or did you? Because I know Vollmer, he run the bank here, and in '93
yes.
he did a lot of foreclosing.
Yeah.
Story I've heard.
Well, that's where I guess we're the old timers. That's where Vollmer got his start. We had a little bit. Yeah, there used to be a Vollmer bank here, and he had a lot of farmland. There's still some. They still got some farmland around here, but some of it's been sold off.
Vollmer's.
Vollmer.
Oh yeah.
So.
Not too well liked by a lot of local people.
I don't know anything about him in that regard.
I'll tell you, there he's got a reputation out of Troy in the same way. Well, you know, Troy was named Vollmer to start
yes.
with.
Yeah, that was the reason. And they changed it to Troy. Yes. Yeah, you betcha.
Did you ever know the Rosensteins?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I knew the Rosenstein family. They had a store out in the old town in Genesee, and then the town moved, or they moved in here. I can remember the Rosenstein.
I think they still have some land out here someplace.
Yes, they do.
I think yeah.
Rosenstein girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I knew the old Jake Rosenstein, his wife, and Mox, and the girls.
Mm-hmm. What were they like?
Oh, they were nice old folks, I thought. They were seemed to be a nice family.
I never knew them, but then I know they used to speak.
Oh, yes,
about
I can remember the Rosenstein.
Your mother and all them used to talk about, but I never knew them.
Yeah, the Rosenstein family, Follett family.
Who did your family trade with? Did they trade
with Rosensteins and Folletts. We kind of divided our trade between the two stores.
Mm-hmm. They were Jewish, weren't they,
mm-hmm.
the Rosensteins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I never knew anything about them in that regard, but I just heard their name. I remember it, when his mother or something used to take butter or something in there, and the old fella used to hide it up so nobody would get it but him.
Yeah, they used to.
She used to do what?
She used to make homemade butter, you remember?
Yeah.
And every time his mother brought it in, well, he'd take some out for himself.
Old man Rosenstein, he always bought butter from us and Follett's. She always had butter and eggs to sell.
Just imagine, they sold her for 50 cents a roll. Look what you paid for it.
That was
now.
2 pound rolls.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've turned them in.
Times have changed. Prices
sure
going
have.
Up. Still going up. I don't know where they're going to stop, but maybe
they've got to stop somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, we got no money left.
Yeah, when we got no money left.
Yeah, I guess so.
Keep getting in debt more and more in the country, so I don't know.
Maybe old President Ford will get us out.
Yeah, or get him
out. One or the other.
Yeah, this election coming up, we'll see who wins. They're sure trying to get nominated. All you can read in the papers is...
Well, the old Jack, what was that one that Wallace they shot that time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's politics for you.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't like a person, for the love of Mike, they don't have the vote, but they don't have to shoot them for Pete's sake.
Crazy people.
Sure it is. It's just crazy.
It's,
If I didn't want to vote somebody, I sure as heck wouldn't go and harm him. I wouldn't vote for him. That'll hurt him worse more than anything.
So, maybe it'll all come out in the wash.
Was there much politics around here in the early days that people
had
elections and stuff?
No, they didn't. Pay too much attention like they do now. They didn't go through all that maneuvering around.
Wouldn't like, take many votes to get elected from around here in the early days, I
no,
imagine.
I tell you, they was. Of course, now the farms are getting bigger and the little farmers going out. There's getting less people around living out in the country now. That is actual farmers. All these farm places, their houses are rented out to people that's working other places, but. Moscow, Royston, some Pullman. So they live here, but they work for other place.
Did you find for yourself that it wasn't worth trying to farm after the Depression because it took so much land and stuff?
Well,
what was
yeah,
you thinking about it?
After I quit, I sold the outfit, the farm outfit, give mother the money, and I went out working on farms up until I went to work at the elevator. I worked for construction, Henry George's, George and Alloway. Then I went to work down the Farmers Union East End, and I was there 25 years, so and I retired.
Wasn't the Farmers Union around here from the rather earlier days?
Oh, yeah.
It was established here in 1909, and they started here, the Farmers Union. Of course, it's much bigger now. They got bigger plants, and they're still building on down at the west end. They're putting up two more big steel boat tanks down
here. Is that the pile of grain out in that site?
What was the thinking when they, from what you know, you heard of why they started it in the first place? What was it? Why did they want to have the Farmers Union?
It was just the start of the farmers getting together in a group, and that way, why, maybe they'd get a little better price on stuff by being a group, you know, a co-op. Well, they finally turned out to be a co-op in time. So, like Uniontown's got a co-op in different places. They can, I don't know, I guess they get a little better price on stuff.
I don't know what they really do that.
So, other than that, why? It just kept building up, big business, getting bigger right along, which it is still getting that way.
Now, one thing I was going to ask you about was the river going down the Clearwater there and going down the grade. Was that a fairly steep grade to get
yes,
down?
Yes, it was. A very steep grade.
They changed it, that I can remember.
The old grade going down, they used to have to rough lock their wagons to make sure to hold them.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't trust the brakes, they rough locked the wheels.
When you rough lock it, does that mean you...
You were on a chain back through and it locked the wheel completely. So you had your brake, but then sometimes they'd give away on you. And that grade was awful steep. And
after they fixed it, after it was better before, it was you know, on the dirt road then, but I remember the old Lewiston Highway, oh my stars, that was just a winding ribbon.
Did you go down there to the river very often, or would you mostly go to Genesee?
Well, of course, I never lived over there when that grade was going from Colton Uniontown down. We used to go down the Central grade here all the time, in the old horse days. It'd take all day to make a trip down to Lewiston and back out to the rim out here where we lived. But now then they put in the Spiral Highway, and they keep improving that. Now they're making a new grade there now. So they've improved a lot. They're trying to get around.
What about the river itself? Did you ever see that river flooding bad or try to cross it in the flood?
You know, they used to have a ferry boat down here at Spalding, you know. And you went across on that before they built the old Spalding Bridge. And then, that would get up. You'd get up over the river, over the road going down the river. And then you'd get ice jams. And it seemed like it's been going down about, we come back up here from Colton in 32, and they had a lot, both sides were lined up, garages and different things. But, 10, 12 years ago, it seemed to be start sliding down. So, you're wrong.
Oh, my boy.
Mm-hmm. That's my son-in-law from Spokane.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catch whitefish there. What was the, what did they use to fish with?
We used hooks and worms and stuff like that. Different things.
Because I know they used to have salmon in there and everything.
Yeah.
Was that when you were fishing in it too? Or was that past?
Yeah,
that,
there was salmon in there.
Yeah.
But they,
I don't know, son. I never.
But we get down there.
I
sit down there and talk with the old fellow. I used to like to visit with him. He had a fishing rod, and he'd take a fish rod, and he'd take an old wooden limb. Way'd go, and we'd catch whitefish.
How come he took such a liking? Was it just to you that he took such a liking to you personally? Or?
Well, he liked
was it because he liked your folks?
Oh, yes. He was good to the old fella and the fall wife. The old fella, he didn't have too good luck to our old mother also. He liked chickens. We gave him some roosters to go fry with him and little things like that. It didn't take much to the old fella make him happy. But he really thought a lot of us. I don't know what in the world.
Yeah. What about the mox moxes? Did you know those?
I remember the old mox moxes. And there was old Jim Carl and Tom Carl and Johnny Matthews and Charlie and Sam Wilson and all of them old fellas there. That I was around there, the old fellas, Charlie White and different ones around there.
Was Charlie White a baseball player?
Young Charlie was.
Oh.
Yeah, old Charlie was, he wasn't, he was only a half breed, but he farmed on the rim down here. Then his dad was a white man, his mother was Indian. But he was one of the finer old fellows.
Wasn't there a number of instances where that where there was mixed marriage like
oh,
that?
Oh, yes, there is yet.
Well, that's enough of schoolwork. Mm-hmm. By golly, you
they're
can't
getting mixed up there quite
all
a bit.
The time work and, you know,
yeah.
You Yeah, you bet your life, but I think part-time
students
have a lot of
steady. There's a lot of history down there that I don't know. I used to get it quite a bit in old Joe Patelic. At first I couldn't understand him, and finally I got so I could understand him. He talked pretty broken English. If you got used to him, why, you could get used to him and you could understand him. And I like to talk to the old fellow. He was interesting.
Did he talk? Did he like to talk about their really early days when, from his time? Did he ever?
He was a.
What was the name of you?
Just a small boy, I guess, when old Chief Joseph made that.
I heard of the name.
What I could understand, him and Suntown both, they were nephews, and so.
Well, I have never.
It's quite interesting talking to them old Indians. Of course, Dad knew them all. I got acquainted with them. I was kind of a pick among the Indians. They'd come by and give me stuff, you know. We always just done a lot of good to them. We'd give them stuff, and like Mother, give them garden stuff and all that. And they didn't have the money all right, but they did all right. And they repaid her back in berries and stuff for everything they could think about. They'd always bring her something.
When they went burying, was it usually to up to the Hoodies they went, or where were
they? Went up north here, up around Mobile and Derry up in there, Huckleberry. Yes, Huckleberry's up in there, and Clarky, and they would go up in there, camp up in there, when they, maybe they'd stay a week or two, when they come out, they'd all stop, and each one of them old gals would have a gallon of berries for Mother. She'd have 5 or 6 gallons of Huckleberries when she got through.
So what would you do with all that?
Oh, she'd can them.
Can't, sure. Uh-huh.
We didn't have freezers and stuff like those days. Mm-hmm. So we just had, she'd can them, everything. Mm-hmm. That's the way she kept her fruit then, canned it all.
You don't have to worry about
the
yeah.
Where did Pio Patelic, he lived down on the river, right?
Right, that, well, you down Coyote Grade.
That's right, you were telling me
Yeah,
that.
You hit the highway. And right back to your right, you see a little house sitting up on the point there. Yeah, I guess it's descendants of his family living there now, the Red Hearts.
When they say the Rimrock, where does the Rimrock start?
Oh, it starts over here about, well, you know, where the highway junction out here, way out there, before you go hit the Uniontown. It starts there and runs clear to hell and going up here towards Juliet along the river, Rimrock.
I don't see why that would be.
So.
It's a pretty big district.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it mostly being farmed by whites when you were farming it?
Yeah. A few Indians tried to farm, but they were never very good farmers. They'd rather go hunting and fishing. But it's mostly rented then, and now a lot of them have bought the land. So.
Where's John Lovegood's place from?
I'll show you. You walk past the...